Thank you, Carol, and open your Bibles back up to the book of Luke. I want to talk to you from this passage of Scripture, Luke 17, verses 20 and 27. Then we will go to the book of Genesis. We are talking about the days of Noah, the days of Noah. We often have this idea the kingdom of God is about a place. It's not about a place, it's about a person. And this passage makes that very, very clear. It is very clear that it's not about palaces and buildings and mansions. And if you refer to the kingdom of God here on this earth, or the kingdom of God as far as heaven, it is not about streets of gold. It's not about ivory gates of pearl and palaces and all those kind of things. It's all about Jesus. And Jesus makes that very, very clear here. And I'm telling you, folks, I really believe he's coming. He's coming soon. And I become more and more convinced. We have some words here that give us a little bit of an idea. Of course, the Pharisees, they want to know about the kingdom of God in reference to the Jews and Israel and when he's going to set up his kingdom and all of that. Again, they're missing it all. We'll get into that in a minute. But the days of Noah, certainly, I think we could say it's pretty much like that right now. Father, bless the preaching and give us from thy word a challenge today, and help us, Lord, to take heed to the scriptures, and that our lives need to be right, and we need to be very, very busy telling folks about the Lord Jesus. I pray we will in Jesus' name. Amen. I get a kick out of the Pharisees. The Bible says when he was demanded of the Pharisees, here they are actually demanding something out of God. You will tell us this. Well, they demand that they want to know when the kingdom of God should come. And it's so funny because, again, they miss everything. They're missing it all. They don't get it. And they, like so many people, and he even says, Jesus makes it clear in verse 20, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Well, if it came with observation, they were totally ignorant because they missed it. Because here's what he said, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, he's not saying in their hearts, he's saying, I'm here. I am the kingdom of God. And boy, it's a good thing it didn't come from, because they totally, completely missed it. And he was right there. He was right among them, but they missed it. And he was among them then, right there he was. Verse 25, he makes it very clear. First must he suffer many things. Something had to happen first. He had to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Otherwise, there would be no kingdom of God. There would be no, not for us anyway, it would not exist for humanity. But then he gives a little hint as to when he's coming back. And again, that's what the kingdom of God, it's all about him. It's all about the person. It's not about the place. It's not about the palaces. It's about him. It's about the person. It's about Jesus Christ. And he gives a little hint as to when he's going to come back. And he says this in verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Very, very clear what he says. He said it will be, here's a hint, it'll be like the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah. Now, before you get too excited, say, oh, wow, we can nail that down. We can actually predict. Well, no, you can just predict that it's like it was in the days of Noah. But that doesn't nail down any day, because Noah lived 950 years. I want you to think how long that was. 950. So within, there's a 1,000-year period here when he could return, when it's like it was in the days of Noah. See, this isn't about making predictions. This isn't about trying to figure out to the day when he's coming. This is about looking at the scripture and simply pointing out that God was fed up in the days of Noah. It's very, very clear. And you have to wonder, as he looks down on this earth today, you have to figure maybe it's kind of like that. He's kind of fed up. Again, I want to remind you that he could come at any time. He could come at any time. The first time he obviously came. He came, he died on a cross to pay for our sins. But his coming will be in the air with what we call the rapture. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and there will be a call and a trumpet sound, and we'll go. And it would be just like here we sit, and if that happens, we're gone. Blink, done. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, faster than a blink. Amen? A twinkle's faster than a blink. I don't remember the statistics on that. Brother Chase, what is it? 1/1,000 of a second. I knew you would know. 1/1,000. So we're gone. I mean, that's it. No time to make the decision. No time to change your mind. No time to get right with God. That's why we need to be ready. That's why the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. Because he can come anytime. Anytime. And the rapture will take place and all the believers will be gone. And it will be total tribulation here on this earth. 7 years of tribulation. There are things we know. We know when the rapture takes place, there's 7 more years. 7 years tribulation, we know that to be true. No question about that. That all starts when the rapture takes place. We won't be here if we're saved. Those of you that have trusted Christ as Savior, when the rapture takes place, you will go. We'll meet in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then there will be 7 years tribulation. At the end of the 7 years, there will be the Battle of Armageddon, which isn't much of a battle. And we come riding down with Jesus on our white horses, and we do absolutely nothing. And he does it all. He speaks and defeats the Antichrist and his armies. He has, within the 7 years, assembled all of mankind into his army, and they're ready to fight and ready to lose. And they will lose, and we will be victorious. And praise the Lord for that. But I'm not really wanting to get into all of that today, but it is a wonderful thought to think that the next event, according to the Bible, is we're gone. Amen. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean we'll be gone. Again, you know, we have this idea somehow, oh, we're going to escape trouble. I've seen trouble. I haven't seen trouble like a lot of Christians have seen, though. Other Christians in the world, they have seen imprisonment. They have seen their family members killed. They have seen themselves in losing jobs and losing things. They've seen their children massacred. Other Christians have seen things. We're not guaranteed that we'll not see that. I don't know why we get this idea that somehow God's going to take us out of persecution and tribulation. The Lord Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. Who do we think we are? I mean, read about the disciples. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. God's people have been persecuted. I'm talking about God's people. I'm talking about saved people. They've been persecuted for years and years and always have been. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And why would we expect the world to love us when it hated Jesus and hung him on a cross? Don't get this idea that there will be no persecution in America, because there could be. And I'm telling you, if he doesn't come soon, we'll see it. And if we don't, our kids will. Well, we better prepare them, shouldn't we? I'm telling you. But I don't want to talk about all that. I just want to compare 3 ways that I believe our day is like the days of Noah. And again, if it is like that, then there's a 950-year period whereby Noah lived. And so the days of Noah, whatever that means, I think there's 3 ways we could say, you know what, this is kind of what the Bible describes as the days of Noah. I think we can see it right here. And I'm talking about right here in America. We don't have to look across the ocean.
That's right.
We see it here. We don't, folks, honestly, we are seeing days of Noah kind of things right in our own backyard. I want to show you 3 things. Go to Genesis 6 and verse 5. Keep your place there in Luke. Again, Pharisees are trying to figure out, you know, how could we pinpoint this thing? And they had no clue. They needed to realize they needed Jesus Christ. By the way, our world needs to understand they need Jesus Christ. You know, I'm getting very frustrated with the idea that everybody wants to interpret the word Allah as God. That's a small g God. That's not our God. Our God is not chopping people's heads off. Our God sent his own son to die for mankind. Our God, when man sinned, our God, in spite of the fact that man sinned, our God said, I love you, and he sent his own son to die on an old rugged cross to pay for our sin. Hey, don't you dare, media and everybody else, equate our God with their God. It is not the same. He is not the same, and it's an insult to our God. But of course, that's exactly what they want. They want to lump it all together. Well, Genesis 6, and by the way, we have never set up machine guns during an invitation. We've never posted the Berean security team at the door with swords. Can you imagine? Could you imagine we walk down the aisles with swords and say, you will receive Christ as Savior? By the way, they wouldn't. Because that's not receiving Christ as Savior. That's saving your neck. But it doesn't save your soul. Your soul is saved when you say, God, I've sinned against you. And I have sinned against you, God. And I deserve punishment in hell. And I'm asking you to forgive me and show me mercy and save my soul, for which Jesus Christ died. That's salvation, and you can't make anybody do that. Amen. Well, three ways. I'm getting off in tangents. Genesis 6 and verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. What's this? This is the days of Noah. God saw it, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I talked about Malachi, where God's precious ones, God's peculiar ones, his treasure. I preached about it a couple weeks ago, how God was listening and perking up his ears to hear when they praised the Lord, when they sang, and when they gave a testimony, and God would tell everybody else, shh, listen to him down there. God, every now and then, I hope he still hears that here in America. I hope it's not quite all over the world. You say, oh, preacher, we sing. Yeah, but what do you do on Monday? What do you do on Tuesday? What do you do on Wednesday? Well, we come to church on Wednesday. Okay, well, what do you do on Thursday? I'm just wondering, again, if the wickedness of man is great in the earth and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, how many people are praising the Lord? Because Thanksgiving to most of the United States of America, you know what it is? It's Turkey Day. And most of the United States of America will not take time out to thank God for that turkey that they worship. Yeah. Anyway, I got to get on with the message. So it says it repented the Lord. That is one of the saddest things in all the Bible. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. You want to put little circles and little stars around a verse that should bring you to tears? It's that verse right there. Where God, it repented the Lord. I shouldn't have made man. Oh, man is breaking my heart. It grieved him in his heart. Number one, first thing. The guilt of man. The guilt of man. Well, we can sure compare, can't we? This was the days of Noah, where God saw it was wicked. God saw that the imagination and thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord. It was so bad. The guilt of man. Now, evolution, the lie that we've been fed for years, evolution says man is getting better and better. That's what evolution has taught for years and years and years. Man is the measure of all things. Man is getting better and better. That is a lie right out of the pit of hell. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, you ought to write it down. You ought to put little stars by it and add it right to this passage in Genesis. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It does not say anywhere in Scripture where man is getting better and better. It says man will get worse and worse. Amen. That's what the Bible says. In Genesis 6 and verse 5, it says God saw wickedness of man. He saw the evil of man. The thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I think of wickedness, I think of evil, and I only have to go back just a couple of days to Paris, France, and you talk about wicked, you talk about evil, you talk about how it can happen anywhere, anytime, and now we've all seen it, and I promise you, a day will come where folks will say, you know, honey, we probably shouldn't go to church because, well, that's a group of people. How sad. They've already hijacked our transportation at the airport by us having to be scanned by every different kind of thing because there could be some terrorist among them. And so now we have to submit ourselves who've never thought about carrying a gun or a knife or killing people or hijacking a plane or blowing it up. People have never thought about it, but here we are. You know, you had to stand out there and all of that. And there will be people. I told Dale this morning. I said, eventually, there will be folks say, church? Oh, we're not going to go to church. People could break in and shoot us. You know, Brother Strong and I, we were talking one time, and he said, well, Pastor, you know, I'm working on a plan. And, you know, all the plans in the world won't do any good if a van load of folks, terrorists, unload right out here and come across here and start shooting through. Now you say, oh, preacher, you're scaring me. Let me tell you something. I am saved and on my way to heaven. And bless God, there's some things you can stop. There's some things you can't stop. And by the way, you can't control when you live and when you die. And you better just come to church. Amen. Amen. Can you believe? I still can't believe. I don't remember the number now. 150-some people killed. Massacred. Allah, Allah, Allah. And don't say that's our God. That's not. By the way, there's a lot of Christians say, well, we worship the same. You do. I don't. Amen. We start tolerating. So anyway, all right. Again, wickedness, evil of man. We don't care about life anymore. It's no big deal to take a life. It's not a big deal. And by the way, that all started with abortion. If we can massacre by the millions little babies in their mother's womb, we can cut them up and throw them out or sell their body parts because it's worth money. Do you know how sick, how wicked, how God in heaven, what is he going to do? How long will he put up with that? Life doesn't matter, and so people kill themselves too. And we have a whole bunch of people say, well, they ought to have a right to do that. I was asked one time, I was in a hospital, an emergency room, and it was when I was first a pastor, and for some reason my mom was there. I think it might have been a hospital where when David was a baby and we had to take him to the emergency room down in Florida. Anyway, all of a sudden the doctor came out and this family said, is there a pastor? Is there a pastor here? Somebody that's, I think they said a man of the cloth or something like that. I don't know. And my mom said, my sons! And I'm thinking, shh. Because I was new, I was young and everything. And my mom, my son, you know, she's all proud and everything. And anyway, this family had to pull the plug. And the doctor told them to pull the plug. And the first thing I said was, is he saved? Is he saved? Oh, yes, he's saved. Pull the plug then if the doctors tell you his brain's gone. But I got news for you, if he's not saved, Why would you ever give up? Amen. Let God decide. I'm just saying, folks, listen to me. We need to appreciate life. And again, I'm just saying, if doctors have said there's nothing they can do, but man, you just make sure. People get murdered. We watch murder all the time. We read about murder. Murder's just, you know, anymore, we're kind of used to it. The occult is doing their thing. They're bigger. We accept it now. Just like we're starting to accept homosexuals adopting children. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, well, they'll be good parents. How? I'm not saying they can't be nice people. I'm not saying they're not necessarily. I'm just saying how? How can a man be a wife? How can a man be a mother? Oh. And God looks down. You just wonder. Pornography is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's not just It's not just billboards and magazines and good night. I mean, we put up with more junk that used to be pornography in our newspapers with the ads. It's everywhere. Drugs are everywhere. I couldn't believe. I mean, the state of Ohio wanting to legalize marijuana, and it was almost like, you people are stupid that don't want. It's like, come on, there was a day we want to make it illegal to drink liquor. What are you talking about? Right. Nobody even talks about that anymore. Well, that's acceptable, preacher. I mean, come on. It's too bad my voice is really not strong. I might start preaching. Sodomy, rape. I mean, the list is wickedness is everywhere. And it said in the day of Noah, it was great in the earth. Could that be said today? I think it's greater today than it's ever been. Unbelievable. You know, back in 2 Timothy, and we didn't turn there, I just quoted it, but it talks about, it says evil men and seducers. Don't miss that. Because those seducers are why it just keeps growing. Seducers? What do you mean, preacher? The media. They're seducers of wickedness. I'm not blaming all the media. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that they are. They seduce. The TV seduces. The internet is one of the biggest seducers in all the world. Seducing people into believing things that you never would have believed before. Seducing us, just like a harlot will seduce a man to commit adultery and ruin his whole life. We're being seduced into all kinds of weird stuff. We're being seduced into worldliness. Christians more than so much. Brother Dale, we were talking this morning. We get a lot accomplished before we pray. And just, you know, the way Christianity has become so worldly. It was years ago. We said, it can't get any worse than this. It has. It is where people look at it like, you people are weird. Praise God. And we're being seduced. You're being seduced in chat rooms into all kinds of wacky stuff. Not just by wild, promiscuous people trying to ruin your life sexually, but I'm talking about being seduced into weird doctrines and beliefs more than it's ever been. Hey, I say this, and I'll preach about it tonight. If you don't want to be a charismatic, don't listen to them. If you don't want to be a liberal, don't listen to them. If you don't want to be a Muslim, don't listen to them. It's just amazing. Oh, you know, all this is so bad. Why do you listen to that trash? I want to get in the forums and learn what we learned years and years ago. When I first, as a Bible college student, I learned a very, very important thing. Don't study them. Study your Bible. I said, you know, I'm going to do a study on the occult. Do you understand? And please don't do this. But I don't even know this for a fact. I just can almost guarantee it. If I put that word into my, what's that thing called on my computer? My browser, my doohickeys thing. Anyway, if I put occult in there, it'd scare me to death what might come out. Some of you, oh, I got to figure this. No, listen to me. You need to, because it will seduce you. Chat rooms, talking to all these different people. Well, I might be an influence. Go soul winning. Get right in eyeball to eyeball and tell them about Jesus Christ and don't listen to whatever they've got to say. I'm just telling you, advertising is seducing us out of our money. Now, if you look something up, all of a sudden you're getting pop-up ads all over the place about something to do with that. You know, if I want to look up something about my car, all of a sudden everybody wants to sell me a new one. Amen. We're being seduced. We're being seduced to spend all of our money. Because you can get a charge card anytime, any place, anywhere. Oh, we'll take bruised credit. They just want to bury you. And the devil just laughs. And we just kind of go on. Because we got to have bigger, better. We got to have like they have. Yeah. And anti-life is everywhere, as I said before. You can only watch so many murders every day. And all of a sudden, you don't appreciate life quite as much. And the philosophy of peace at any cost, we're seeing it right here in the United States of America. Study the Revolutionary War. Study those that said, give me liberty or give me death. Patrick Henry and others that practiced that. Yeah. Peace at any cost, that's the opposite. And it's a compromise just to get along. It's led, here's what it's leading to. It's silencing the Christians.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to look like the bad guys. Some of you already, you've shut up about position on sodomites. You've gotten quiet over that. Oh, I don't want to stir anything. Well, I'm not trying. I just want to tell the truth, what the Bible says about it. I don't hate anybody. Well, they call you a homophobe. I'm for Jesus and people getting saved. But if they don't know, they need to get saved. And if we can't preach about sin, nobody's going to know they can get saved. Whatever the sin, lying, cheating, stealing, whatever it is, not paying your bills, same thing. Isaiah 5:20. Look at it. Isaiah 5. Keep your place in Genesis. Keep your place everywhere. Amen. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Is this like the days of Noah? Look what it says. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Is that today? Is that today? When a woman, because of her beliefs, she did not bake a cake for somebody, she gets fined thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And yet doctors are making thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to kill a little baby in its mother's womb. You can be fined thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for killing an endangered species. Little babies in America are becoming an endangered species. Amen. We've been seduced because a lot of folks, I just wouldn't want to say anything. We've been seduced. We are, as it was in the days of Noah, deceived and being deceived. Yeah, that's right. It affects our thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If we keep being seduced and deceived, it affects what we think in our heart, and it's what we become. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Compare that with 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, what the Bible says we must do, we have to do. And by the way, this is for Christians. This is people who should have pure hearts, right hearts. These are people he told us to keep, guard our hearts. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought to obey the Lord. Wow. We need to have a revival of thinking. Problem is, we have so many people who they get on the internet and turn off their brain. They get on TV and turn off their brain. They get involved in conversations with people all over and turn off their brain. We need a revival of thinking, and thinking according to the Word of God. What does God say? And so the result, Genesis 6, verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with what? Violence. Yeah, where there's corruption, there's violence. Where there's wickedness, there's violence. And it says, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Wow. History should have taught us. All empires fall. Why? They're corrupted by flesh. Look at the Roman Empire. It fell because people wanted to have fun. That's us today. Yeah, it was more important than anything else. Man is guilty, and it's getting worse. There is a way that seemeth right to a man. Unfortunately, we've been seduced into following that. Otherwise, this place would be full right now. Yeah. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Look around. Is our day like the days of Noah? I think it is, in the guilt of man. How about number two, the second thing, the God of creation. You know what? All this time, he's still God. Yeah, Malachi 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. He's the same God as the days of Noah. That's hard to imagine. All these years, same God. He said, I will destroy man from off the face of the earth. Same God. Watch man be destroyed from off the face of the earth. Oh, yeah. With a flood. Same God that's watched man rebuild. Same God. And look where we've come. Oh, things are so much better. You know, that same God still sees. Verse 5, God saw that the wicked. You suppose God doesn't see what's going on in America? You suppose God doesn't see what's going on in the United States and in the rest of our world? Do you suppose God doesn't see the wickedness that is going on? Do you suppose God, he doesn't see our imaginations? Because he sees our thoughts. Do you suppose he doesn't recognize that so many folks, maybe the majority of all the world, it's just evil thought after evil thought after evil thought, and evil thoughts lead to evil actions? He knows what terrorists are plotting even now. He knows what we're plotting, what sin we're plotting. Oh, my sin, it's private. Nobody, he knows. He still sees. He still sees our thoughts. You know, he saw the very first time. Stay with me now. I'm getting close to being done here. He saw the very first time. I want you to try to think. I spent a little time just in prayer and thinking about this. He saw the very first time. The strangest thing took place. A mother found out that she was going to have a baby. And she thought, I wish I could get rid of it. And God saw that. Whew. And how many have said that and thought that? And now it's a common thought. Oh, well. Oh, well. Oh, well. You know, used to a preacher could read, bless God, you need to do right. You need to stay pure. And if you're going to have a baby, you're going to have to take care of that baby. Oh, no, we don't have to take care of that baby now. We just kill it. We can bury our sin so easily nowadays, can't we? We can hide it, keep it from the everybody else. Boy, we can just go on. And a woman now, you know, and men, you know, it's worse. You know, well, you know, I don't have to worry about it. I'll just tell her to get an abortion. You wicked, vile, barnyard animal. And God, I got to thinking about that first time, the strangest thought. Because in my mind, I compared it with God listening and wanting to hear us praise him and sing songs. And he heard Carol Poor a little while ago, and he bent down and said, shh, to all the angels, and said, I want to hear that song. Boy, that's good. And as Craig said, that first song that we sang, that's all praise and worship. And God said, hey, shh, I like that, you know. But just try to imagine God the very first time, the first mother, a mother who loves her baby. And the first time a mother thought, I don't want this baby. And I can imagine that God shook his head. And maybe some angels said, oh, but they would never. They would never. But we did. How about when Cain thought, I'm going to kill Abel? Oh, it grieved God's heart. He still sees, and he still grieves. He still grieves. It repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart, and he still grieves. In verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Wow. That's so sad. Adam and Eve in the garden, God made them. They're fellowshipping. They're having a wonderful time. They name all the animals, and Adam has Eve, and they should have been thrilled. And then they sinned. And God comes to meet with them and says, where art thou, Adam? And God had to hear their thoughts as they hid from God. Oh, God was there when they went out to a little first cemetery and buried Abel, their son. God didn't create us for pain and sorrow and death. That's all the result of sin. And it doesn't have to be. No wonder God's grieved as men take their lives, as they take others' lives, as people hurt and lose their mind over sin. It doesn't have to be, but it's just getting worse and worse. So he still sees, he still grieves, but let me just say this today. He's still long-suffering. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's still long-suffering. Look at 1 Peter 3, verse 20. The days of Noah. Peter tells us a little bit about the days of Noah. A lot of times we don't think about it. You know, people say, oh, you know, God, he lost his patience with man, blah, 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 and he just... Well, let me tell you, 1 Peter 3, verse 20 gives us a real, real good idea into the heart of God. Talking about the days of Noah, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. The long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. 100 years, God waited because of his long-suffering. It's still the same. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that 40 years ago, I'm so glad that God waited for me. And 40 years ago, I called upon Jesus to save my soul because of the long suffering of God. Oh, surely, after war, after the Revolutionary War and Civil War and World War I and World War II, I mean, certainly, God could have said, that's it. I'm so glad that in 1959 and 60 and 61, 62, 63, all through the 60s, I'm so glad he waited. I'm so glad he waited until the 70s and I could be saved. And he's 40 years later. And if you're not saved, you still can get saved because of the long-suffering of God. In 2 Peter, it goes on. Peter was kind of liked this subject. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You understand that when the flood came to this earth, it broke the heart of God. And though the rapture will be a blessing and it'll be wonderful for us, it will break the heart of God Almighty. Why? Well, because of the third thing. Number one, we see the guilt of man in the days of Noah. That's like today. We see the God of creation. He's still the same. But number three is the grace of God. Wonderful words in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Unbelievable. Noah was as guilty as anybody else, but grace. Grace. And he made a choice. He chose God's provision. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, he was moved with fear. By the way, if there's no preaching, Romans tells us this, how should they hear without a preacher? Right? Amen. They need the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Noah moved with fear. If there's no more preaching, and most preaching today isn't that. It's playing games. It is not wanting to make anybody mad because we need their money. We need the big crowd because that's what pays our bills. Let me tell you something. He has always paid the bills. It's not up to any of us. It's up to him. And I pray God blesses you, but if you don't turn loose of what's his, I pray God doesn't bless you. Amen. Wish I had a voice today. He was moved with fear. Moved with fear. And some pulling out of the fire. Amen. There isn't a whole lot of that anymore. But the grace of God. How do you find the grace of God unless you know that you need it? And you don't know that you need it unless you realize you're a filthy, rotten sinner. And he was moved with fear over the judgment of God. And just real quick, the grace of God. Well, in the days of Noah, God made a way. And God still makes a way. Praise the Lord. In verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And God made a way. It was all God's plan. It wasn't the idea of man. Noah would have had no clue what to do. No idea. But God said, here's my plan. Man has no idea. That's why we need to tell them. That's why those buses are out there. That's why our doors are open as much as they can be. God made a way, and it's up to us to tell people. He made a way that was provided safety from the judgment. Praise the Lord. That's what salvation does. He made a way that gave security to the people. He told them exactly how. He said, this is my way. You get in this ark, you'll be safe. You do it the way I say to do it, you'll be safe. This wasn't an ark built from Noah's Ark Building Incorporated. It was a first and only. Yeah. Amen? There wasn't any pattern to go by other than, here's what I'm telling you to do, Noah. And in the plan of salvation, it's all God's plan. And God says, if you do it, you will be saved. Follow the plan. That's all. Just follow the plan. And you'll have security. And of course, God made a way that provided satisfaction. Because I guarantee, it worked. What do you mean? When the rains came down and the floods came up, so did the ark. And it stayed on top of the water instead of under it. Glory to God. And his salvation plan, it works. And when the rains come down and the floods come up, we'll float. Amen. If you're saved. Amen. God made a way. It's a perfect way. But also, God shut the door. Chapter 7, verse 16. There does come a time. And I believe that broke God's heart. I think all 100 years, as they build that ark, Noah and his boys are preaching to people. People are laughing. People are mocking, just like today. But then the day comes, chapter 7, verse 16. and the Lord shut him in. I like it being worded that he shut him in, but the truth of the matter is, it shut them out. I'm so glad that he shut me in, but I'm really sad that it's going to shut them out. And someday that day will come, folks, and I believe it's near. And by then, it was too late. Do you understand when the trumpet sounds and the shout comes and we're gone? It's too late for a whole bunch of folks. Too late. But the grace of God, not only did God make a way and God shut the door, but he also gave a choice, just like there's a choice today. People can still get saved today. Isn't that wonderful? In Hebrews 11, the Bible talks about this and talks about things not seen as yet. Amen. The flood, an ark, they had never seen that before. People thought he was what? Crazy. And that's our day. They think we're crazy. Go soul winning, you'll find out. Just give out tracts, you'll find out. Talk to people. If you died today, would you go to heaven? Go into some areas where people have lots of money. They look at it like, why would I need that? Look what I have. Look what you drive and look what I drive. Are you kidding? It has nothing to do with that. Many, 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 many people mock. Well, you know, and by the way, there's so many religious nuts out there that have predicted dates of the rapture and then it didn't happen. This fruitcake that did. Oh, I don't know. There's been so many of them. Remember the big billboards that were up? Hey, he's on this day and all these people. You know, and everybody's all excited, and then people are, you know, and they just make fun. They think we're nuts. I'm not predicting any day. I know it's within 950 years of the days of Noah. I do know that. But all that means is it could be today. But there's a choice. There's a choice. Things not seen as yet. By the way, heaven, none of us have seen heaven. Don't tell me you died and you saw it and all that kind of stuff. I don't, you know. But, and by the way, none of us have seen hell either. All these people, well, I don't believe in hell. Well, really, you ever been there? Never seen it? How do you know? You still have a choice. The days of Noah. I believe we qualify. I believe we qualify to be very similar to the days of Noah. We see the guilt of man. We see the God of creation. He hadn't changed. And praise God, we see the grace of God still available. Oh, yeah. Even today, even in the next few minutes. If you're not saved, you can still get saved. If the rapture takes place, my Bible says that you'll believe the lie. Whatever that lie is, don't know what it is. But it says God will send a strong delusion. You'll believe the lie. You say, I'll get saved if everybody was gone out. I know I'd get. Why don't you just get saved now? If you've never been saved. And God's people, listen, if this is like the days of Noah, then let's understand. Noah got his family into the ark. How's your family? How's your life? Let's bow our heads, please.